Blog Talk Radio.
It away to the corner. Crosby up with it there. Punched along to Jerome McGinley. Crosby scores! It's over! The gold medal to Canada!
And I figured, why bother updating that?
Yeah, seems apropos.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. We're going to talk about that a lot. But first, welcome again to Obey the Puck. I am the host, Dan Colachico. With me, as always,
the Angry Spatula.
The Angry Spatula, Kelly Levy. You can find me on Twitter at DanLo83. You can find Kelly on Twitter at SkedCentral. And follow the show at Obey Puck Show. Sked Central is S-K-E-D Central.
Yes.
Yes, I'm so good at that. Which we still haven't gone on there and added Dean yet. That's okay. Well, I'll get you on there tonight.
I forgot.
As soon as we find your phone.
I found your phone.
Okay, good.
All good.
Okay. So she's over.
Yeah.
Thank God.
No more Olympics.
What the hell?
Nothing to randomly watch in the middle of the day.
Oh, I know. It was great, though, waking up and, hey, let's turn on some hockey at 7 a.m.
There's hockey in the morning.
Oh, it was great.
It's like watching Premier League.
you're right. Saturday morning, let's watch some football. And I mean soccer for you Americans out there. No, it was great. First of all, let's get this out of the way before we talk about the gold medal. I want to congratulate the Philadelphia Flyers, Kimmo Tiimonen, and NHL superstar, I think, Teemu Selanne, for winning the bronze medal. You kicked the crap out of USA, who didn't show up.
Yeah.
And we'll mention that in a second. But I'm happy for both of them, because they won't be in the Olympics again. We don't know about the rest of the NHL. Those two might not.
I don't know.
Don't even go there.
Yager was in, and so was who was the other really old guy with the
Nedved.
Tech? Nedved.
Yeah.
So why not?
It's the last two they will have. Tiimonen, I think, is going to retire. Tiimonen's been talking about it.
Well, he could retire and go home and just, hey, you know what? I think I might still be able to make the team. And
I'm not wrong. No, I'm kidding. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to Sweden.
Sweden?
And we're talking about the men's hockey first. For the silver medal, because they wanted to play, apparently. Because USA got to the game against Canada to go to the gold medal game and then decided we don't want to play anymore. Not even the bronze medal.
Well, they kind of seemed to change up their whole thinking. But
mention that also in a second. But I guess I will say it like this. Congratulations goes to the entirety of Team Canada except for Crosby. As I put the ball with my microphone. Congratulations on the gold medal. You don't have it to play English. Well, that weird football thing they play.
It is awesome.
And say it wasn't awesome. It's just different.
No, I had a friend of mine explain the rules. It's amazing.
Sarcasm?
No, well, if those are the actual rules of Canadian football, it's the greatest sport ever. If you tackle someone on the logo, it's like extra points.
Are you serious? Get out of the way. Get away from me.
But if that game that was described to me while I was watching the Canadian Football League were the actual rules, I would watch it every day.
No, but, you know, I didn't want them to, but I pretty much thought, you know?
Well, they played.
They played.
That defense was pretty darn good. You know your defense is good when Carey Price is is your winning goaltender.
But say no more. They wanted to play.
That's a lot of pressure to be on Team Canada.
Very, very very upset with the way that USA, Team USA came through in those later rounds. I mean, at least try for the bronze medal, dude.
Well, it was, I mean, the build-up for them was all about that they, you know, if they played well, they were going to run into Canada in all, you know, likelihood.
Yeah.
They got to that game, and when they lost that game, that's tough to bounce back from, you know, one day later. But that being said, the Finland-Sweden rivalry is probably way more intense than Canada-USA.
Yeah.
That, you know, that rivalry goes back to the beginning of those countries, and they've played a lot in international competition. And, you know, Finland showed up for the bronze game. They were ready
to
go.
Yeah, but they were men that wanted to play, you know, not – first of all, explain to me what the heck Bielsma's deal was. He completely changed.
Well, it just seemed like – he, in my eyes, I don't know, he adopted the Finland plan against Canada. Now, Finland played very much the old Jersey Devil, the old school Jersey Devils plan. You lie in wait, you fall back and defend, and you wait for a mistake. And anytime there's a turnover, you take that up, and those are your scoring chances. You've got to wait for the other team to make a mistake because you're kind of outmatched skill-wise and so on and so forth. And now the U.S. hadn't played that way at all before that game in the tournament. They were playing a much more open, a fast-paced game, you know. I've said it, that their offense was clicking. They were playing well offensively. The defense was not fantastic, but they didn't have to be because their offense was spending a lot of time up in the offensive zone and getting chances, so the defense didn't have to be on all the time. And they had decent, solid goaltending. It wasn't spectacular all the time, but it was good.
And I'm so happy that we don't have to just talk about how great Crosby was. The whole team as a whole.
Oh, yeah.
Of Team Canada played.
Oh, yeah.
Great, so we don't have to go, oh, Crosby was so amazing. He wasn't that great. You know, I'm so happy about that. I know I'm a hater, but, you know, I'm jealous. Whatever you say, guys. Whatever you say, Pittsburgh and Canada, I'm jealous. Anyway.
I like how Pittsburgh has been lumped in with Canada now.
For now. Next week, starting this week, they hit each other again. But, I mean, as of last week. To my friend Vince, I don't care. Please stop sending me messages. I love you. I love you. I don't care about Crosby. Stop it.
Well,
I'm going to call the police.
The U.S. goes back to not knowing what is going on in hockey again, and Canada goes on being obsessed with hockey. It's just the way it is. It's the rest of us Americans who do care about hockey.
As an American, I'm not overstating this. I'm saying as a guy who was all about Team USA pride, I'm embarrassed. That sucked. Those two showings. You couldn't even try.
I don't think they have anything to be ashamed of in the Canada game. It's kind of, in my opinion, kind of the wrong game plan for that game. But they lost 1-0. It wasn't like Canada ran them over. Yes, Canada definitely carried the ball.
I'm talking about the bronze medal game. They just lost. It was a one-goal game against Team Canada, you know, so calm down. But I'm talking about that bronze medal game is like, I don't even want to be – bronze is not good enough.
Yeah,
I would – wear that every day. Look at me.
No, I don't buy that at all. Everyone says that. Well, they got blown out for, so that must mean that the bronze meant nothing to them. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that's the case of emotionally they were heavily invested in the Canada game, and when they lost that game, that maybe they just couldn't recover in time to get ready to play Finland, and Finland was ready to go. Finland had no problem getting back up after their, you know, they had a really crushing defeat, too. They lost 2-1 or 3-2, I forget. But, you know, to their arch rivals. So they were able to get it together. Someone said that Solani gave a simple but straightforward speech to his team before the game, like,
let's go win this.
Let's go do this. I want my medal.
Yeah.
And I that's...
He worked for it.
That's what you do. That's what you need your captain to do.
That's an amazing, amazing specimen of a player right there.
Yeah, he's pretty great.
He's one of those dudes that I also say he looks like a hockey player, you know what I mean? Man looks like a hockey player. Gallagher looks like a hockey player. You know what I mean? Hartnell looks like a hockey player. There's dudes that look like they should play hockey because they're not very attractive. You know what I mean? It's come from an ugly dude.
And then there's guys like Lundqvist.
Who
shouldn't play the hockey.
He wears a mask so it protects his face.
Exactly. That face should be protected at all times.
I was talking about Vince, and also, all kidding aside, though, he did post this thing that I guess Molson Canadian posted, which is Canadian noun, a play and unstoppable force of nature, known for its uncanny ability to thrive in cold climates. Synonyms: winter and awesome. No, but in all seriousness, except for Crosby, congratulations, Team Canada. Yes, I said that seriously.
Let it go, man.
No, I'm never letting it go. F him and his twin brother, Andy Samberg.
Okay.
I
have no idea.
You have no idea who that. Look that up and then come back to me later and go, you know, they do look alike.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
Brooklyn 99.
Oh, okay. I don't care. I stopped caring about Saturday Night Live like 20 years ago now.
20? That's pretty good.
I was in as long as Phil Hartman was there once he left.
Was it Phil?
I don't
that
care.
Was what did it for you? Yeah, well, thank his wife for that.
Love me some Phil Hartman.
On the woman's side, that was exciting up to the last minute.
Oh, man, that was I was at work watching that, and the swearing that I did loudly in the cube pharmacal.
Are you serious? The pharmacal?
The pharmacal.
What the hell?
I meant to say cubicle. That's farm, and it came together as cube pharmacal, which I kind of like.
Me mistaking you for twisting your words is like me saying, that dude's fat. <I'm just saying. laughs>
But I like cube pharmacal.
I can imagine you sitting there going, oh, mother.
Oh, yeah. It was
wonderful. Oh, son of a...
It was such a great game. And, I mean, you know, the U.S. scored in, I believe, in the second, and then they scored again in the third. And it was like, wow. And then, but it was totally like watching the Miracle on Ice game, though. It was like they scored in the third, and I kept looking at the clock like, that's way too much time.
Yeah,
that's way too much time. There's no way they're going down without a fight. And
you
then
I had, by osmosis, the same feeling. When that lineswoman got – well, they said the linesman anyway. When the linesman got in the way and that puck got skipped off her and went towards the empty net, the Canadian empty net, and missed – by 2 inches?
When it hit the
I'm
post.
Like, we lost.
I knew how. Yeah, I knew how that was going to end.
We're going to lose.
I knew it.
Bang, 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 3 unanswered. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, I thought it was just 2.
2 unanswered, yes.
2 unanswered.
As soon as it missed that and hit the post, I'm like, we lost. It's a flyer. It's Flyers rule.
I knew it wasn't a good sign at about 8 minutes when the U.S. called the or took the media timeout or whatever it was, and they were having the group meeting. The coaches weren't talking with all the players, and then they kept doing that. I'm like, you really shouldn't need to motivate yourselves at this point.
Do nothing. Just play the puck. Devil's thing.
How many times has that happened to the U.S. team against Canada? They know what that team's capable of, and they showed it.
And Wickenheiser and the rest of the team can't. I just like saying the fact that I can say Wickenheiser.
Old lady Wickenheiser was awesome.
And she was not taking any crap. It got more contentious than the Canadian USA men's team.
Well, it was really it was frustrating watching that game that they couldn't hit. Because there were so many times that they had each other lined up for great hits, and they would pull up because it was a gold medal game. They didn't want to take a penalty.
For those who don't know, body checking in women's hockey is a penalty.
Which I understand for all the games except for USA Canada, because in those games there's massive size difference.
Let it go.
But for USA-Canada, I really think they should be able to hit because those two teams match up so closely.
I'm surprised they behaved themselves as much as they did.
Well, they're not going to go crazy. You don't want to be the person who loses their head in the Olympics in the gold medal game. No, no, no.
But, you know.
No, that was a great game. It was intense. It was well played.
They were effing around.
Lots of chance, and the Canadian goaltender was amazing. The only reason that Canada had any chance to get back in that game.
I had her name stored in my brain for that reason.
She stood on her head, and in the overtime, the U.S. could have won it early on. She made some amazing saves. So
you're not doing it today.
That was a great game. Heartbreaking for a fan of the USA, but it was a great game.
Oh, no, that I was happy for. And you know my stance on women playing hockey. More, please. In fact, if we could play that in slow motion. Oh, look at that. Oh. And I was backing behind the Swiss female team. I don't mean to say female. It doesn't matter. That's not insulting.
The women's team, female team, whatever.
Is that insulting, doing it like that? I don't know. Ever since Schelling's performance against Team Canada to go to the gold medal game, I was like, oh, man, please get the bronze. Please get the bronze. And they did. They played. That was great. And, again, women's hockey. Bring it to the U.S. Let's go, baby. Woohoo!
No, I don't want that to happen. There are women's leagues, professional leagues up in Canada. I'd much rather see that. And I think that's what's happening for the U.S. players who, after they finish college, they're going to play pro hockey.
Why not?
They're over in Europe or something like that. But don't do the WNBA thing with hockey. No.
You want to see the Washington Mystics?
No.
Terrible names. They all have to be lady names like that.
The way it's handled, it just bothers me.
So you handle it.
On a basic level.
To continue our Sochi talk, unless he has nothing to say, then we'll move on to NBC. NBC. NHL. Sorry. I cursed the very name NBC.
NBC. Hey, Joe. What are them? Bring back the Cosby Show.
I'm going to ignore that.
That's all I got. Actually, I was a bigger Night Court fan than anything. So.
I watched Alf.
Okay, well, once again, I win that one.
Fox. No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Bull sucks. What is his official title? I always get this wrong. The contributing writer.
The New England correspondent.
New England correspondent of. The New England correspondent of StadiumJourney.com is joining us once again because he's smart. Not like I. You two can talk, and I can just sit here and go, oh. Paul Baker from StadiumJourney.com is joining us. Paul.
Hey, good evening, everyone.
How you doing?
I'm not doing badly. How about yourself?
I'd be better if Team Canada, you know, didn't win, but I'm not going to hold a grudge.
Well, now that everybody's back in the Olympics, they can shuffle everybody, put everybody on their right teams, and we can go back to rooting for our menagerie of Finns, Czechs, Russians, whatever you happen to have on your team.
The mutts.
Exactly. The Olympics is exhausting for that very reason, because you start rooting for people that you know deep down in your gut. I don't like that person, but...
See, for me, the Olympics, I love watching this tournament because you're not going to find better hockey anywhere. But, yeah, I end up not developing a strong tie to anybody. In fact, I found myself rooting against the Americans because they didn't have any Bruins on them.
Oh.
See? Yeah.
I could have taken that stance.
Usually in the Olympics, I'll root for any team. I don't care.
No, but I could have taken the same stance Paul did because there was former Flyers all over the place. But on Team USA, JVR was the only Flyers connection. He was there might have been 1 or 2 years ago, but JVR was the latest Flyer. That's years ago. I'm talking about recently.
Oh, gotcha.
JVR was the closest connection I had, but yeah, I don't. It's a good point. I want to go. Let's go back 2 weeks. I don't want to try that again.
Well, and your other reason for hating Canada would be the Giroux thing. So,
see, no, because I'm not. And Paul, jump in any time, but I'm not Ed Schneider. come on your team, and it's an abomination, and now I'm going to get together with the other owners, and we're going to cancel this. Shut up. And then somebody, I mentioned on the show before, then somebody mentioned to him in the same interview, you realize the last time there was an Olympic break, you went to the Stanley Cup final. And shut up. I'm just saying. Go ahead. What you got for Paul? I'm bitter.
We noticed it. Duly noted.
How did you, the first question I want to ask Paul, did you have any problems viewing any of the games for the Olympics?
Yeah, because I work, you know, a regular 9-to-5 role, 8-to-4 job, so I didn't really get to watch a whole lot of hockey. And, you know, I didn't have the willpower to stay away from the computer screen and check up on the scores. So it was one of those deals where I ended up knowing who was going to win, and then you turn the game on, you're like, well, you know what, I really know what's going to happen. I don't feel like watching this. So you kind of pay attention with one eye and end up doing something else.
I find that really difficult, like the huge time difference. Olympics, it's so hard to stay away from. They're not spoilers, but they are spoilers when you want to sit down and watch it and enjoy it, you know, as if it were live. But I couldn't avoid results, and then slowly I kind of trained myself to avoid them during the day while I was at work. Because, you know, I'm so busy, I never look at the Internet, ever.
Yeah, I try to stay away. And then I put on the game at night, and my wife would ask me, all right, who won this game? I'd say, well, yeah, Canada won this game. And she says, all right, we can watch something else.
Yeah, let's watch curling. My only real, you know, I was on a soapbox 2 episodes ago, but my only true real problem I have with that whole thing is at least don't flash the score on the screen when you're re-airing the damn thing.
That always tends to ruin the enjoyment, doesn't it?
NHL Network does it when they re-air NHL games or something like that, and NBC does it like, oh, by the way, here's the bottom scroll. Ah!
You think they'd be smart enough to not do that?
I'm just saying.
You need the piece of cardboard to set up in front of your television screen.
Block the bottom
on that,
6 inches
bottom
of the screen.
So that
when I was still in elementary and high school, when I was still in school and I had a smaller TV, and that scroll just started on news networks and stuff, I used to just scotch tape a piece of cutout paper on the bottom of my screen because that used to distract me. The ADD I am. Now I don't care, but I used to actually just tape black paper on the bottom of the screen. It bothered me that.
Now we're also used to it because we can't possibly just watch one thing anymore. We have to watch things and hear about Twitter and see scores and see what times or things are happening. And
sadly, you know how I got used to it? 9/11.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
So much information coming out. I was looking up and down, up and down. All right, I got this.
So I don't need that much information about sports. I really don't.
But, Paul, what's your assessment on who won and the hockey the tournament? I can't talk tonight. The tournament itself and how you feel about it coming out.
Well, like I said, I love these 2 weeks of hockey. It's absolutely fantastic. I hope the owners don't follow through on their threat and we get to do it again in 4 years because the players really take this seriously, and that's what makes it so fantastic. But you could line these teams all back up in a couple of weeks, replay this tournament, and you'd get a different outcome because there's so many, you know, the top 6 or 7 teams are so evenly matched.
So that's a question I'm going to ask Paul first, and I'll ask you. Well, I know how you'll answer it, but I'm going to ask you for the podcast. In the next 4 years, there's a possibility that the NHL won't be involved. Will you still be as invested?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Because then, you know, we'll have the NHL to keep us going, and, you know, who cares? Well, I don't know. I was at the 80 Olympics, so I can't really say who cares about it, but that was really something different.
I'll give you that one. What is it? How about you, Kel? Obviously, you'll pay attention still.
Yeah, I love the Olympics, but it definitely changes it. I mean, if you don't have the NHL guys there, it's very different. I would be interested to see if the NHL says no, we're not going to do it. How that shakes out for different countries. I could see large numbers of players from certain countries going, you know what? I want to play for my country, and I don't care you know, that's going to be difficult for them to do because they're in multi-million dollar contracts, but I could see that happening.
Is there, I'm going to ask Paul again first and then come to you, is there a chance, because I don't know, that maybe the AHL can get involved or some of the minor leagues?
Well, the AHL guys go.
They do go.
Mm-hmm. Well, because maybe you know, Paul, is that because they're under the same agreement as the NHL, or has the AHL like negotiated separately that their players can participate in the Olympics?
Well, the AHL does have a separate collective bargaining agreement from the NHL, and they have their own union. But I would assume the players that are property of an NHL team would be bound by the same rules. So since they've got the permission, the NHL guys have the permission to play, I think that same courtesy would be extended to the AHL players. But that would be a solid alternative to bringing the NHL guys, you know, bring the second-level guys from the AHL. That would be pretty interesting there.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, if that could work, because you have, on a very basic level, when people ask, like, Kelly came up with this explanation, when people ask the difference between the N and the AHL, passing. that's the huge difference.
Speed is the I'd say speed's number one.
Speed and passing.
Accuracy and passing.
Yeah, speed and the skill level. Absolutely.
But you would get pretty much the same level of excitement, I thought, that you did in the NHL if you have some of the AHL, because you know the guys, too.
Well, it's very strange. The Olympics did this years ago. I've never understood how the whole thing works now, because back in the day, you couldn't participate in the Olympics if you had been paid to do your sport.
Well, exactly,
and that was another point I had about the Olympics was the Soviets exploited the Red Army teams and that kind of thing, and that's why they were so dominant in a lot of different things, because these guys were athletes full-time, and they trained full-time, and they were paid, and they didn't have to worry about a 9-to-5 day job. But, you know, I don't know how they do it. Now, the NBA guys are involved now, and then you hear about, like, the sprinters and stuff like that. They have sponsorship deals now, so I don't understand. I don't know how they changed the rule that it's okay now. I don't know.
What they did is just it became such a sham and a joke that they just decided, okay, the hell with this. Anybody who wants to be in the Olympics can be in the Olympics. And let's just make it the best people, period. Doesn't matter if they're professional,
right,
amateur, or whatever. I like your point about the European guys. If, say, the NHL decided they didn't want to go to the Olympics, for some of these European countries, this is bigger than the NHL to them. So.
Oh, yeah.
It would present quite a dilemma whether they would end up representing their country or play for the team that's paying them.
Well, you know, somebody like Ovi will go back to the, just an example, will go over to the KHL, make almost damn near, if not more, money over in that league, and then go play for his country and be like, I don't care. See you later.
Yeah, well, yeah, he would. The Russian guy, anyone who goes to play the Russian league, any big name is going to make more money in Russia just because they don't have to pay nearly as much taxes. And that's why so many guys are willing to go.
I forgot my point. That's you come up with the next one.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I hope the NHL will continue. Someone had brought up the point that they have the chance in the next Olympics because it's going to be in an Asian country to really introduce the game on a grand scale, where they failed so bad with the what was that? They did the Winter Olympics and it was just a mess.
Turin?
Oh, Nagano?
Is it Turin? Nagano.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of the Japanese city. I'm sorry. Thank you, Paul.
Well, that was just a mess from the American perspective. I think everybody else thought it went pretty well.
Yeah, that's true. That they could try to reintroduce the game on the Asian continent where you have a massive population.
And very little hockey.
Well, very little high-level hockey. There are Asian leagues and teams, and those countries do play. They just play in the lower tiers. They haven't made it. They haven't progressed up to the.
I don't see how it would be a good idea for the NHL to pull out of the Olympics when you have another professional team, another professional league involved in the other Olympics. When you're trying to build your, I don't care if they play on Pluto. If you're trying to play, and it's not a planet anymore. But my point is, if you're trying to build your brand, I would think if you can go. I think it's stupid that they're even considering. I'm not playing next time.
Well,
look like you. Whatever.
I for me as a fan, I want to see them in the Olympics, but I understand where some of the owners are coming from because look at what happened with Tavares.
That's yeah.
He's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah,
playing
bad.
In games that had nothing to do with the Islanders. They've lost. You know, the money invested in him for the season is lost now.
But they both knew going in that was a possibility for anybody.
Yeah, and Tavares accepted that risk. He wanted to play for his country, but I don't think the team was nearly as willing to say, yeah, we should, our multi-million-dollar investment should go and play and take his chances on the ice. And if we lose him for this season or part of next season, well, that's just the way the cookie crumbles. I don't think that's their outlook on it.
Hey, Flyers have a healthy team. So the Bruins, apparently.
Yeah, the Bruins.
I mean, if you ask any of the GMs about their true feelings about the Olympics, they would say they are totally against sending the players over there exactly for the reason that happened to Tavares.
Yeah.
And the local sports station here had Peter Chiarelli and Cam Neely on, and they both said, we absolutely don't want to send our players over.
Wow.
But from a fan standpoint, I love the tournament, and I hope they continue.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I was just saying that Tavares' injury does not help the other side at all. That helps the owners' causes. Well, see what happened? One of our star players got hurt. Nah, we can't let this continue happening.
Yeah.
They don't have much of an argument there.
Exactly. But, you don't get – you can't get big benefit if you're not taking a big enough risk. It's the owners, of course, never want to take any risk, which you understand. They're the ones taking the financial
money, yeah.
So the players have guaranteed contracts. They.
So speaking of the NHL, it's finally coming back.
That's right.
We're at the. I was calling it the halfway. I was calling it the halfway mark.
It's the halfway point for people who are bad at math.
Yeah, Paul very politely corrected me and said 2/3.
Yeah.
But then he used the home stretch. I was like, that's perfect, home stretch.
There you
me
go.
No good at adding. Paul, I'll go to you first. How do you coming out of the Olympic break? Home stretch. It matters now. How do you feel about the Bruins and the rest of the league? How do you feel about things?
Well, it's always tough to see how teams are going to come out of this break, but if you handicap it based on where the teams are, in the East, you've got Boston and Pittsburgh starting to run away from everybody. And, in the NHL playoffs, anything can happen, and usually does. But if you look at the offensive stats, defensive stats, anywhere you – standings, anywhere you slice it, those two teams are really head and shoulders above the rest of the conference.
Definitely. Do you see anything from Pittsburgh this year that gives you pause as a Bruins fan?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're a very talented team. I mean, the playoffs last year, I think, was just a total aberration that the Bruins were able to beat them in four. And I don't remember if the games were even very close in that series. I think the Bruins really kind of had a good hold on them throughout all four of the games. I mean, they were close, but I think the Bruins were ahead most of the time. But the year before, I think did they play the year before, or was it the year before that? One year they played in the series was, neck and neck. And I think if they were to meet, look at the games lately. These two teams have developed a little bit of, a dislike for each other. So I think if they got to play with a trip to the finals on the line, I think that would be an incredible series in more ways than one.
Oh I'm looking forward to that matchup because at this point it seems like nothing's stopping either of those teams from going to the playoffs. The question in the East is who the heck is going to make it in behind them.
Well,
I'm still going.
a warning sign for the Bruins are the kind of teams that they struggle against are teams with a lot of speed who can really pressure their defense. The Bruins, with some of the trades they made, sacrificed a lot of speed. They got rid of guys like Sagan and Peverly, some of their really faster skaters. And so if you look in the Bruins division, you've got teams like Montreal and Toronto who can really fly up and down the ice. Those teams give the Bruins a lot of trouble, and you saw it in the Toronto series last year.
Yeah. As we talked about when we first spoke, I'm still going with Boston as my pick. Of course, I don't want Pittsburgh to win.
We all became Bruins fans in that Eastern Conference final last year.
Well, man, I was watching, chewing my nails, going, "Come on!"
Well, no, for me, I'm just watching the Caps is like watching the Ice Capades. You never know what which version of the team is going to show up. I mean, there's nights when it's like they look like they could hang with anyone, and then there's other nights where it's like, oh, there they are. That's the actual team. They're just a mess. They haven't been consistently anything other than consistent to tie it up or let it get tied at the end of the game and take it to overtime and probably the shootout, which if there were shootouts in the playoffs, we'd still lose because we suck at those.
To get on the Philly thing, to tie it into your thing, if you would have asked me when we first had Paul on, the second time we had Paul on, you would have asked me who was going to have a better season between the two of our teams, Washington and Philly, I would have given it to you. But, I mean, as bad as the season started for the Flyers, that last month and a half, that run, was like they turned it around. It was a slow turn. It was a K-turn. But they turned it around. And I believe the only thing I can hang my hat on is Drew had the most points the last 2 months.
Yeah, he seemed to have figured out.
He woke up.
What he needs to do. He is definitely, they are playing better as a team. And Mason has not been spectacular, but he's been consistent behind them. I think them having confidence that, you know, if they make a defensive mistake, it's not going in the net every time is a huge boost for them.
It hasn't been perfect, but Mason and Emery have been the answer. I mean, you hear it up in New England, you hear it down here in the D.C. area, the goaltending issues that the Flyers have had. This year has been answered. Now, if they could just get the rest of the team to gel, you'd have a dangerous team. The second to last time Philly played Boston in the playoffs, they had, I'm not picking on Paul, I'm making a point. They had that run where all of a sudden they turned it around because death was approaching. If that happens this year, you're going to kill us. I mean, again, Boston was my pick. I'm staying with Boston.
Well, Boston plays playoff hockey just year round. They play that game that wins
you. You should.
That wins you games in the playoffs.
And Rask. Whew.
Yeah.
As some of the people up here like to say, the Bruins try to win every game 0-0.
Yeah, exactly. it shows.
Good, I like that. And where the hell did Rask come from? Thomas was there, and Rask was back, and all of a sudden, I'm leaving. And Rask's like, I got it, no problem.
They've been grooming Rask for years and years. He seems like he's been around forever. I think he's only like 26, 27, but being from Providence here, I've seen him play between Providence and Boston, I think at least 10 years now.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I've heard that name for years.
Something I missed. I missed that. I mean,
They traded him for Andrew Raycroft after Raycroft's Rookie of the Year season. He was drafted by Toronto, and they shipped Raycroft off when his stock was high. Look what happened to him, and because they believed he would be their goalie of the future, and they nailed it.
Toronto made a bad trade? No. For a goaltender? No.
Rask was in the Olympics. You kept hearing his name.
I want to know what's up with the game against Sweden, their biggest rival, and all of a sudden, I'm sick, I can't play, and that's the one game they lost.
Yeah,
whatever it was, stomach flu, whatever, food poisoning, it seemed to hit one guy on every team right before a game. I don't know what they were getting in the water or
what was the water.
What was going on over there?
Maybe he got a hold of some of Backstrom's nasal spray or whatever it was, asthma medication or whatever it was he took.
the allergy medicine.
I was waiting for Paul to use that.
That just sucks.
Sucks.
I don't know if there's anyone in the NHL.
I don't think
anyone truly hates Backstrom.
He's so sweet.
I feel bad for the guy. if everything that's being said is true, if he was asking the doctor, like, can I be taking this? And the doctor was like, yeah, whatever. And that they held on to it from what he did it Wednesday, so they should have known on Friday.
They didn't tell him until Saturday.
What the issue was going to be. No, they didn't tell him until Sunday, right before
the game.
Right before the gold medal game to make their point that they weren't going to have they weren't going to have dope fiends in the finals or something. I don't know. I just feel bad for him.
I remember I was reading that early, and I was like, oh, I can't wait to kill him.
The steroid-riddled, maybe 170-pound, soaking wet Nick Backstrom.
West Coast. Who's coming after the East Coast? Paul, I'll ask. I know you have less of a chance to see some of those games, but who do you think on the West Coast is going to be contenders this year?
I think the West Coast is where it's at this year. I think there's four or five teams that I think would take it over anybody in the East. To be honest with you, you got Chicago, and then my dark horse I told you about beginning of the season, St. Louis, and then out west you got all three California teams are just really strong. So I could see any one of them. The Bruins actually took a road trip out west and ended up just getting smoked by Anaheim and L.A. They came back and beat San Jose, but just those teams from top to bottom are just very rock solid. So I could see any of them making a long run.
Yeah, in my mind, St. Louis is kind of the Western version of Boston. They play a very similar game.
I thought Paul would have a rebuttal on that. That's why I didn't say anything.
It's a very simple, and I don't mean that in a bad way, just it's very simple. You're going to play great defense, you're going to have really good goaltending, and you're going to score when you get your opportunity when the other teams are making mistakes.
And San Jose has been one of those teams for the last couple of years you've been watching because they've been slowly going,
climbing. Caps.
Yeah, exactly. San Jose will put up great numbers during the season and then do their annual flop when the playoffs come. If I had to pick somebody from the West right now, I'd got to go with either Anaheim or Chicago.
I got to agree with him there. I'm personally, you say it first because I'm pulling for this team because of the reason you're pulling for the team.
Well, I'd love to see Gabby make a run at the Cup. But I've seen this team before. I've seen this Anaheim Cup team before. I've seen the amazing regular season team that just can't be stopped, and then they hit that first round of the playoffs. So I'm really hoping. If they can get to the second round, look out. But if they struggle in that first round, I don't know. But when I've seen them play, they're amazing. They're fun to watch because when Gabby can play his actual system, that's fun hockey to watch. It hasn't translated to the NHL playoffs yet.
I like seeing him get mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's great.
You mother effer.
But, as incredible as Anaheim has been, Chicago's right behind them. I mean, the amazing amount of wins that Anaheim's put up, and they just can't shake Chicago at the top of the conference there. Whoever survives the West, I don't know. I'm thinking whoever comes out of the West is going to be so beat up after three rounds of playoffs that might be the only hope for a team from the East this year is that they get a team that's just beyond wounded coming into the finals.
Is strong and it's deep. So whoever comes out of that side is going to be battle tested. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, based on that, I'm going to pick Stanley Cup Final. This is just a, no, this is just, this is, I'm not going to live, the three of us are not going to live or die by this.
Oh, you will.
I will. You guys can make me die by this. That's fine. I respect you both for that. And I haven't even met Paul. I just know I like him because he posted about the same thing I did this morning. Hal Ramis.
Yeah, my dream of meeting all four Ghostbusters is gone.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. I'm gonna keep you on for a little bit longer. There's a whole that in a second. Anaheim, Boston. I want to see Anaheim, Boston. I would love to see Anaheim, Philly, but Philly don't have a chance this year. But so Anaheim, Boston. I'm keeping my Boston, and I'm going with Anaheim.
All right.
Go ahead, you first, Kelly, and then our guest last, if we have it.
Oh, man.
This is just a, you know.
Yeah.
When it comes to the playoffs, we'll have Paul back on and we'll have our serious thing. But I'm saying now, who do you see it?
Yeah, based on what I see, you know, it's got to go through Chicago. I don't know at this point. But so I'll say Chicago from the West. And in the East, man, I don't know. It kind of depends on when teams play each other, you know. you could have some...
If you say Pittsburgh, I won't hold it against you.
Some crazy please. Matchups. I think right now
that
Boston
sounds like a trap to me.
Later.
No, I think at this point Boston is my pick to come out of the East, just because they play a really, real complete game, and they know exactly what they have in net for the playoffs. I don't think Pittsburgh has that luxury.
No, they don't. No.
So.
Bocoon and Fleury. Come on, 1-2 punch.
I don't even think Bocoon isn't even back yet, is he?
Yeah. He's my point exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Paul, go ahead, throw one out there.
Yeah, I'm going to shock everybody and say I think the Bruins are going to come out of the East. And beginning of the year, I said Chicago. I'm going to stick with it because it still looks pretty good, pretty safe.
So you're both going Boston, Chicago.
That's sort of.
We're all picking Boston. So that I think we feel the same about the team, and plus we keep Paul on our good side.
Yeah, exactly. we were picking Boston no matter what because he was on tonight.
If Boston plays Philly, I apologize ahead of time for anything I say.
It'll be ugly, Paul.
I'm a Philly.
No worries. I've been down to Philly for a Bruins game before and took quite a bit of abuse. So no worries there.
We are a bunch of a-holes, and I'm sorry.
No, it was all good nature. I'm somebody who rolls off my back.
At least it was good nature, because I know two guys that were New Jersey fans that almost got jumped in the parking lot, and they just didn't know it.
Oblivious people from New Jersey, no.
did I say that on air once?
No.
The night Bernie Parent was over, was passed by Mark Brodeur. For most wins in a season, and these two guys in the back of the Wells Fargo Center, last row, these two guys wearing Giants and, you know, Northern Jersey, they had Giants and Devils stuff like, bye, bye, Bernie, but for like 5 minutes, and finally I said something, and I started the fight. I said something, and then I lit the fuse and then walked away. And the guy
next
that's
to the best way to do it.
Yeah. The dude, all I recall is a big, tall dude climbing up the seats from four rows down to get in this guy's face. And the guy on the other side of me, mid-40s, big dude with glasses, was like, this is the playoffs. We jump him in the parking lot. I was like, yeah. And inside I'm going, I'm going to die. So they were dead. They were close to death. They didn't know it. So that's how we see the NHL season. Any final things you want to say about the NHL before we move on, Paul?
Is Buffalo still alive in playoffs mathematically, or have they been eliminated yet?
Buffalo still alive?
Looking at the standings, they're about 15 points behind everybody else.
Yeah,
And why is Edmonton still in last place? They've had the number one pick for the last 25 years, and they're still in last.
It's amazing. It's one of the it kind of proves the point how difficult it is to what separates the teams these days is really truly the management, because the teams that can draft and develop and use free agency well are the teams that year after year make the playoffs and are actually contenders for the Cup. But, yeah, man, Edmonton is such a mess. And it's a shame because I love Edmonton. In my heart, I want Edmonton to do well. But
I don't.
They've.
I'm still bitter.
Well, and the other thing, they've drafted all offense. They haven't put together a defense.
They don't need any more Cups, thank you. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. Buffalo, I can't be bitter about because there was two teams we beat in the 70s and they both became with a B. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm curious about where, because I'm pretty sure that Ryan Miller is moving.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious where he's going to wind up. That could shake up the playoff race.
Yeah. Trade deadline's what, next Thursday, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah.
We have a week. I'm nervous.
You know, it's one of those things. He's available, and somehow the Penguins always make those deals. You're like, how the heck did they make that deal? Like, last year was Ginla.
Like the Flyers. They don't have any more money on the cap,
and yet they make those deals. So if Ryan Miller winds up a Penguin, I quit. I'm just
oh, no. If I'm burning down the igloo. Oh, wait, it's already gone. Was it console? So if he has an arena in Pittsburgh?
The energy center thing, yeah.
I'll never get on a plane. Forget
it. I think the trade deadline could be very interesting this year, but the teams don't have much room anymore.
How about Boston at the trade deadline? Do they have any moves to make that they even want to make, or are they pretty much going to keep everybody intact?
Well, they traded a minor leaguer, Carter Camper. They sent him to Columbus for another minor leaguer. But they are looking for a defenseman to kind of make up the minutes Dennis Seidenberg was giving them. But as far as what they're going to give up for that, I can't see them trading
Seidenberg
any of their guys from the lineup. So it would be a prospect move. So we'll see how that shakes out.
Seidenberg, here's a guy I miss.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Another trade I don't have. Yeah, never mind.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, well, the Caps don't have any defensemen to offer Boston. But if you want Martin Erat.
Yeah, Erat or Oleski.
I think the big problem
is
so many teams are still in the race. It's going to be tough to, there's only three or four teams you can consider to be sellers at this point. So prying somebody away is going to be tough.
I'm looking at the Metro Division, and I just don't understand how we're still in contention at all.
Well, that was the thing early on. As bad as the Flyers were, and everyone like, well, they're just out of it. I'm like, have you looked at the standings? Because other than Pittsburgh, everyone else is almost that bad.
I don't get it.
Yeah, the Metro is horrible.
Did we have Paul on when we talked about the Metropolitan name?
I don't believe
about we talked about.
I don't recall that conversation.
How do you feel about how do you feel, especially now that we're almost a whole season in, how do you feel about the alignment? And I know you're a big hockey fan, the name of the Metro Division.
What else are you going to call it, right? I like that we got the Florida teams in our division because, you know, if I want to follow the Bruins in the wintertime, it gives us an excuse to go somewhere warm.
There you go. I never thought of that.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I mean, as a Caps fan, years ago when they announced the Southeast, I was like, really? Really? We get all the brand new teams who we have no rivalries with and us. So, you know, we're going to be expected to win this thing every year, but we're going to be playing all the Southern teams in Atlanta 97 times a season. Oh, boy.
There was a big part of me that wanted them to go back to the old the Adams, the Norris, the Smythe, but it didn't work out that way for whatever reason.
I was so hoping he'd say that because that we were all on the same page.
I don't understand why they couldn't bring back some of the
some
of the tradition.
It's not mainstream.
Well, whatever.
Batman.
Hockey's never going to be mainstream. It's just not.
Well, we all know how we feel. I'm not cutting you loose yet, Paul, because I want to move into something you sent me right before the show started. How would you feel about watching a hockey game on the roof?
I have to go to Las Vegas next year. There's no two ways about it. I must.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Sounds fun.
I think we have to find a way where we take a road trip and we're going to
Vegas. Remote show location.
I mean, for what I'm referring to, the listeners, is the Las Vegas Wranglers were they didn't renew the arena contract.
The Orleans Arena.
Yeah. So the Plaza Hotel Casino is has come up with it. They're going to build a 3,500 seat structure and a rink and a full hockey rink and tennis court area on the roof of their team.
Oh, thank God there'll be tennis.
I was worried. Oh,
now, one of my buddies over at Stadium Journey told me that it's not actually going to be on the roof of the hotel. It's going to be on the roof of the parking garage.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of off to the side. Let me rephrase what I said, where the tennis courts were.
But it's still on a roof. So.
Yeah, it's on the roof of the parking structure, which is right parallel with the hotel. And they're going to have a full hockey arena up there on the roof. Now, I'm assuming that they're going to roof that, or are they going to have the roof off on that?
I think it's going to be open to the elements, from what I understood.
Awesome.
Now, what happens if you shoot the puck and it, like, goes off the roof? I mean, you got to stop the game and somebody has to go chase the puck?
It's just like playing in the lot. You got to go to the old lady's house and get the ball back.
Clerks.
Exactly. You knock on your neighbor's door. Excuse me, mister, my puck went over into your yard. Can I go get it?
Did anybody else bring a ball? No, we only brought one ball.
Then you got to go, you know, pickle the beast to go get your puck.
And if you happen to stop at a couple of slot machines on the way back, you know, it happens.
Now, one of the things they said in the article is they're going to I like how they put this. They're going to reevaluate the ticket prices because walk-up ticket price right now is $18.
Yeah.
They're going to raise that for, you know, you play on the roof.
I would assume so because they're building this. I guess I don't know what the particulars of the financial deal are.
Can you imagine the desert night, beautiful view on the roof of a building and watching hockey?
That's pretty great. Yeah. They do every year they do a midnight game.
Oh, that's one of the things in the article is the midnight games down here are going to be sick.
Yeah, so that's a destination kind of hockey thing. That's going to be pretty cool. I'm glad to see that the Wranglers are sticking around. They've been a real solid franchise for the ECHL for a number of years now, and I was kind of sad to hear that they hadn't renewed their lease, and that, you know, there was a chance that they were going to be gone. So I'm glad they figured out something. I'd love to see it succeed. It sounds like a great idea. I hope it works out.
Now, where do you stick the cooling elements? You stick it in the roof of the – I guess you stick it in the ceiling, huh?
I'm guessing you put it next to the 97 other cooling elements you have to keep the casino.
All right. You don't have to be like that. Do I live with you? God.
Well, it's a dry heat, so it should all be okay.
Oh, it's a dry heat. You still sweat. But that's fine. I'm all for that. He posted that literally right before the game. The show started. I was like, here we go. Paul, before you go, give us the rundown. What's coming up? The Plug Stadium Journey and articles coming up. Go for it, man.
All right. I just had a very exciting weekend. I went up to Bentley University in Watertown, Mass. To see a Division I hockey game, which was pretty much played at an arena the size of my driveway. So that review just went up on the website today, so that should be featured on www.stadiumjourney.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Stadium Journey. Like us on Facebook. You can like me on Facebook if you want, or you can follow me on Twitter at PuckmanRI. And our goal at the beginning of this hockey season was to review every NCAA Division I hockey arena, and I think we are on target to get there. So within the next 2 weeks, we're really pushing hard to be to all the places we haven't been.
Impressive.
That's impressive.
That's quite an undertaking.
Yeah, I know. I'm finishing off the season with a doubleheader. I'm going to Sacred Heart University and then American International College, a couple of Division I powerhouses.
I'm going to have to ask you for some SCED help, because those are two teams I know my my SCED friends are still looking for, Sacred Heart and American International. So if
well,
they have anything.
These two teams play in, also in a very small, like, you know, neighborhood rank, public ranks. So
yeah.
I'll keep an eye out. But a lot of the teams I've been to, I haven't seen any kind of souvenirs or anything that would tell you that the teams play there. But I'll keep my eyes open.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that's those teams are pretty regular year to year. It's very difficult to get anything from those teams, and that's because their budgets are much smaller. And you know, you've got a staff that's got so many things to do. That's the lowest on their totem pole.
Exactly. This is not the big time, but you know what? There's only 59 Division I schools, so if you can make it that far, you've got some talent.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
only 59. My God.
Well,
no,
how many Division
I
basketball teams are there? Like 700, 800?
I was going to say 14,560.
Well, everybody plays basketball because it's so much cheaper.
Exactly.
No, I like State of Jersey. I honestly like that. Love the website. You alerted it to me and got me in touch with Paul, but I love – well, I love the structures themselves, but I love the score system they have, the article. It's really – really in-depth if you want to go somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going somewhere, you've got to check it out.
Yes.
It's going to give you a...
I looked up Verizon Center the other day just because we were going to the AHL showcase. Not that I haven't been there before, but I was like, I wonder what they said.
Well, I got to say, that's one of the reviews that I've got to respectfully disagree with. They rank that up near the top of the NHL experience. I've been to about a third of the NHL and really not a fan of the Verizon Center.
No, it's kind of bleh.
Yeah.
It's like, there I am.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The seats are very narrow.
You know,
for a large guy like myself, it's very uncomfortable.
Dude, I don't even want to talk about that. We were, no, that's okay. But there's only been two NHL arenas I've ever been to, so unfortunately I can't really say anything.
Well, you can't.
There's Wells Fargo Center, and then there was the Verizon Center.
Well, you went to three. That's not true.
Where's the third one?
Your beloved.
Oh, the Spectrum? I'm talking about Alive now, today.
That still counts.
The Spectrum was a whole.
I got a great
Spectrum
story that's not appropriate for on the air, so I can tell it to you guys another time.
Excellent.
You can't censor it, or is it that bad?
All right, I could. Let's see. I was at an REM concert back in college. And we drove up from Baltimore, where I went to college, went up to see REM, met up with some friends of mine. And as you can imagine, you know, we were in college, so we were enjoying ourselves. And you remember how the bathrooms were downstairs at the old Spectrum? You had to go down the stairs and into the bathrooms. Well, I had, you know, had a few adult beverages, so I really had to use the bathroom. But there was a line all the way up the stairs and around the corner, and I wasn't going to make it. So I went down the stairs and... opened up a janitor's closet, which happened to be unlocked, looked inside, there was a mop sink. So, you know, necessity's mother invention. I used the mop sink. And the best part of the story is when I left out of the closet, there was a line to go into the closet. So.
That sounds like the Spectrum. Yeah. I always get nervous going into arenas now because I remember the lines of the bathroom in the Spectrum and at the Vet, and that you forget that the newer places have like 300 bathrooms, which alleviates the problem, not 100%, but it helps. And then I remember those lines in the Spectrum, like, I'm holding it in. And then I get up to the row, I'm like, no, I could go. There's nobody here. But yeah, that Spectrum, I hated those bathrooms. Plus, I'm pretty sure somebody was living in them.
Well, there was a bunch of rats living in them, that's for sure.
I'm sure that they were just pets to the humans that were living around after hours. Last thing I wanted to mention before we get off the air, I'm keeping you on only because you mentioned it. This is not hockey or sports related, but this is something that was close to me, and I don't have any other outlet really at this moment to mention it, but one of my heroes as a kid, and right now, to this day, he's a hero of mine, Harold Ramis, comedic and comedy movie, and he's a genius. passed away today at the age of 69. Apparently he had health issues and autoimmune disease.
Mm-hmm.
And this morning he passed away. Paul, I knew you were a huge fan. Final thoughts about Hal Reams?
What a legacy he left behind. If you list the movies that he was involved in, it's just just a classic after classic, starting with Animal House, Caddyshack, Ghostbusters, Groundhog Day, you name it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today because I'm a huge – I've seen all the movies. The only one I think I haven't seen is Meatballs, surprisingly. Like, I'm like, oh, my God, I haven't seen Meatballs. But I focus on Ghostbusters because when somebody asks me – favorite, that's it for me, that franchise. But then you look at the list of the stuff he did, and he was amazing, and he was smart. Ghostbusters is the way it is because of him. Dan Aykroyd came up with it, but Harold Ramis being the skeptic. Dan was the believer. Harold was the skeptic. And you mix those two, and you got away from the huge script that Dan wrote, and you got that classic script of one of the most popular movies ever made. I mean, from a kid, I cried today. I don't care saying that. This is, other than George Harrison, this is the first person outside of my family that has meant something to me that has passed away, and I could not believe it. And today is a sad day because Egon will never eat another Twinkie. for Paul, Kelly, myself, everybody at Obey the Puck, we're going to leave you with a little bit of Ghostbusters music in memory of Harold Ramis. Harold, thank you for everything you contribute to entertainment. You're the reason I am a nerd. Everybody, you follow us on Twitter at Obey Puck Show. Follow Paul at PuckmanRI and Stadium Journey at StadiumJourney.com. Follow Kelly at Sketch Central. Follow me at DanLaw83. We'll see you next Monday.